Welcome to the How To Dressage podcast, and in this episode, we're going to look at how to ride and improve your horse's canter. Now, the canter is probably the trickiest gait for a young horse to master within the confinement of a dressage arena. And this is because the engagement and the balance are still being established. However, it's in the competitive dressage rider's best interest to focus on the quality of this gait, because so many test movements are based on the canter. For example, canter pirouettes, tempi changes, half passes, and zigzags. They all require the horse to have a good canter. So in this podcast episode, we're going to take a look at what makes a correct canter, how to ride the canter, and how you can improve it. So first up, let's talk a little bit about the canter. So the canter is also known as the bounding gait. And when ridden frequently and correctly, the canter can offer you the following benefits. So it can help to improve the horse's strength, balance, and coordination. It can help to create increased spring and expression. It can promote elasticity and suppleness of the horse's back. It can help to tone weak abdominal muscles. It can help to improve the horse's cardiovascular system. And it can also help to encourage the horse to move positively forwards. So as you can see, there are lots of benefits to this pace. But now let's discuss a quality canter. Because if you take a moment to look at your dressage score sheets after a competition, you will notice that in the directives column, it states the phrase quality of canter. Now, the term quality refers to the regularity and the lightness of the strides, the uphill tendency, and the natural ability of the horse to carry himself whilst maintaining active and well-placed hind legs. Now, overall, this should result in a horse that is able to maintain the correct rhythm and balance that is appropriate to its level of training. And it should also be able to show a nice height through the front legs with a good shoulder action. Now, it's important to be aware of the natural quality of the horse's canter, because unlike the trot, which can be very easily improved if necessary, the canter belongs to the horse. Okay, so now that we know more about this pace, let's now talk about the correct canter. Because before we start discussing how to ride and improve the horse's canter, it makes sense that we first understand what it is that we are trying to achieve. So here is what is required. And we're going to first start by talking about the rhythm and the sequence of footfalls. So the canter has a 3-beat rhythm. So if you hear the horse cantering along a road, you should clearly hear 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. And the correct sequence of footfalls is as follows. So the first beat is created by the horse's outside hind leg. And then the second beat is created by a diagonal pair of the horse's inside hind leg and the horse's outside foreleg. And then the third beat is created by the horse's inside foreleg, which is the canter's leading leg. And then that sequence is then followed by a clear moment of suspension. And this is where all the horse's feet are off the ground, and then the sequence recommences. Now, if we look at the canter variants, there are 4 canter variants in total. So we have the working canter, the medium canter, the collected canter, and the extended canter. Now, regardless of which variation you are riding, they should all show these following qualities. So firstly, it should have a clear and regular three-beat rhythm with the correct sequence of footfalls and a clear moment of suspension, as we have just discussed. Next, the strides should be regular, light, and cadenced. And remember that cadenced is an accentuated rhythm with springy impulsion and expression. Now, there should also be a good amount of activity. And also remember that activity is measured by the bending of the hind leg joints and the briskness of the hind leg step. Activity does not mean a quick tempo. Now, the next quality is that the horse should transition into the canter smoothly and without hesitation. The horse should also demonstrate mental and physical relaxation so that the horse's back can fully swing in this pace. There should also be an elastic contact and a round, steady frame. And the canter should have plenty of impulsion and jump to the strides with engagement of the hind quarters, again, relative to the horse's level of training. So a young and novice horse wouldn't be expected to show as much engagement as that of a more advanced horse. Now, the next quality is that the horse should remain straight on straight lines and show an even bend through turns, circles, and corners whilst in the canter. And finally, the overall impression of the canter should be one of a horse that is travelling uphill. Now, on top of all those qualities that I've just listed, each variation of the canter, so the working canter, medium canter, extended canter, and collected canter, all of these variations also have its own additional set of requirements. And we're going to take a quick look at each one of them individually. So first up, let's talk about the working canter. Now, this is the first canter variant that you will ride on a young and novice horse, and it's important because it forms the foundation for the other canter variants. Now, on top of all the qualities that we've just discussed, the additional judges' requirements for this pace are as follows. So first up, the stride length should be between the medium canter and the collected canter, and it should be a natural and comfortable length that the horse can easily maintain. And overall, the stride should be light, even, and active with a forward tendency. So that was the working canter. Let's now talk about the medium canter. So for the medium canter, the horse should show a moderate lengthening of the strides without hurrying. And again, the additional judges' requirements are as follows. So this time, the stride length for the medium canter should be longer than the working canter, but shorter than the extended canter. And the horse should be allowed to lengthen his whole frame, to lower his head and neck slightly, and also place his nose slightly in front of the vertical. The horse should also push into the lengthening with impulsion that is generated from his hind quarters, and the strides should remain balanced and the whole movement should remain unconstrained. Now, importantly, the transitions into and out of the medium canter should be smooth and balanced, and the rider must also remain in balance with the horse and not lean backwards. So that covers the medium canter. Now let's look at the third canter variant, which is the collected canter. So this pace requires the horse to shift more weight onto his hind quarters in order to produce a shorter and taller canter stride with increased flexion of the hind leg joints. Now, collection should be thought of as a rebalancing of the weight carriage towards the hind quarters. Collection should not be thought of as a shortening of the stride, and that applies to all paces, not just the canter. The shorter and higher steps of collection are a result of the horse's rebalancing. So because the horse takes more weight onto his hind legs, this results in the shorter and higher steps of collection. collection does not mean artificially shortening the stride. So when we look at the additional judges' requirements for the collected canter, they are as follows. So the horse should remain connected to the contact with a raised and arched neck, and the strides should be shorter and taller, but still maintain the impulsion, the elasticity, and the cadence. And the horse should demonstrate clear self-carriage with greater mobility of the shoulders. And the hocks should be well engaged, again, relative to the horse's level of training. So a young and novice horse won't be expected to engage the hocks as much as a more advanced horse. And then finally, the horse should have a shorter and taller frame with his nose coming just onto the vertical. So that covers the collected canter. Let's now talk about the final canter variant, which is the extended canter. So during this pace, the horse is required to lengthen his stride as much as his conformation allows. And the additional judges' requirements are as follows. So the horse should cover as much ground as he is physically capable of, but do it without rushing. And the transitions into and out of the extension should be smooth and well balanced. The horse should also be allowed to lengthen his whole frame, and his nose should be slightly in front of the vertical. And the horse should remain calm through the transitions and within the extension itself, so we don't want to see the horse exploding into the extended canter. Now, there should be greater impulsion generated from the horse's hindquarters whilst the strides remain light. And the rider must remain in balance with the horse and not lean backwards. And finally, the horse should show an increased moment of suspension during this pace. So that covers the extended canter, and it wraps up the requirements of all the canter variants and what the judge expects to see from the canter during a dressage competition. But now let's move on to talk about diagonal advanced placement within the canter. So, as we've said, during the canter sequence of footfalls, the horse has a diagonal pair of legs, and that is the horse's inside hind and the horse's outside fore. Now, when we usually describe a diagonal pair of legs, we usually say that they are moving and landing together. However, when you study the horse's canter in slow motion, you may see that the horse's diagonal limb pairs are often slightly disassociated, and they might not leave and contact the ground at exactly the same time. Now, diagonal advanced placement, which is also shortened to DAP, is also referred to as diagonal disassociation, and it describes one foot of a diagonal pairing landing fractionally before the other foot. Now, it's often very subtle and it cannot be seen by the naked eye, but here are the key points that you need to know. So if the horse is moving in an uphill balance with an elevated forehand, then this usually means that his hind foot in the diagonal pair will hit the ground fractionally before his front foot. And this is known as positive DAP. Now, on the other hand, if the horse is on the forehand and is moving in a downhill manner, then this usually means that his front foot in a diagonal pair will hit the ground fractionally before his hind foot. And this is known as negative DAP. Now, of course, the diagonal pair of legs can indeed land together. And if they do, then this is known as zero DAP or neutral DAP. Now, although a small amount of positive DAP can be considered a good thing, because it would mean that the horse is travelling uphill, there are many classical dressage masters that consider positive DAP to be an impurity of the horse's gait. Now, if you would like more information on this, we have done a separate article and a separate podcast episode on this diagonal advanced placement. Just search for how to identify diagonal advanced placement on our website, howtodressage.com, or in our podcast archives. But now we're going to move on to talk about how to ride the canter. So first up, let's talk about the canter transition itself. So when you are transitioning into canter, whether you're transitioning from the trot or from the walk, emphasis should be on the horse pushing from the hind legs that are placed under the body. And this should be the focus, because what you don't want is you don't want the horse launching into canter off the shoulders. Now, this is vital because the pushing of the hind legs educates and enables the horse to develop incremental levels of engagement. So always focus on the transition being pushed from the hind legs rather than the horse launching off the shoulders. Now, to get a clean canter strike off on the correct leading leg, you need to time your canter aids. So as we talked about earlier, the canter sequence starts on the horse's outside hind leg. Therefore, you need to apply your canter aids just as the horse's outside hind leg is coming into contact with the ground, because it's only at this precise moment that you can change the step of that outside hind leg from a walk or a trot step into the first canter step. Now, the aids that you need to apply at this moment are as follows. So we're going to go through what each of your rein and leg aids need to be doing. So your inside rein is there to ask for a very small amount of flexion to the inside. Your outside rein is there to have an elastic balancing effect. It also helps to prevent too much neck bend, and it stops the horse from falling out through the outside shoulder. Now, you should also have your inside leg at the girth, and this encourages the horse to step under with his inside hind leg. Now, your outside leg should be behind the girth, and this helps to initiate the canter strike off by again encouraging the horse to push off with his outside hind leg. Now, at the same time, you should have your weight in your inside seat bone, and you should use it to give a downwards forwards push to help initiate the canter strike off. Now, by putting your weight into the inside seat bone, this also frees the horse's back on the outside. And again, this helps to encourage the horse to push off with that outside hind leg. Now, with young and novice horses, it's best to ask for the canter strike off in a corner or on a circle, because the bend of the corner or the circle will help to balance the canter transition, as well as make it clear to the horse which canter lead you require. And then as the horse's education and his understanding of the aids progresses, you can then begin to ask for the canter strike off on straight lines and in other places of the arena. So that's how we go about asking for the canter. Now let's quickly talk about riding the canter. So during the canter, the horse kind of rocks between his hind legs and his forelegs. Now this motion can cause the rider to also rock their upper body back and forth. However, this should be avoided. Instead, your upper body needs to remain perpendicular to the ground, and the horse's movement should be absorbed through your hips. Your legs should hang down naturally, and unless they are aiding the horse, they should maintain a passive contact with the horse's sides without gripping. And your contact should remain steady and elastic, and you should stay sat up in the centre of the saddle. So you should not lean to the inside, and you should not twist in your seat. Now, if you need any more help with how to sit in the saddle, we have just put together a rather in-depth article and podcast episode titled how and why to maintain the correct rider position. So if you need any more help, just search for that on our website, howtodressage.com, or in our podcast archives. But next, going back to the canter, you need to ride the horse positively forwards and focus on maintaining a regular rhythm, a consistent tempo, and that moment of suspension. Now, if the horse begins to rush, begins to lose balance, or begins to tip onto the forehand, then ride the horse onto a large circle and use the half halt to help balance and regulate the pace. So that gives you a very basic overview of how to ride the canter. But now we're going to move on to talk about some of the common problems that are seen in the canter. Because as you are training this pace, you need to be aware of some of the pitfalls and also how you can go about correcting them. So we're going to go through 6 of the most common problems. So the first problem is that the canter strides are propping onto the forehand. Now, this is usually due to the horse becoming out of balance and again heaving himself off the shoulders rather than flexing the joints in the hindquarters and placing his legs underneath his body. So to help correct this issue, you need to ride the horse forwards with frequent and prompt transitions from working canter to medium canter back to working canter. And whilst you are riding these transitions, try not to let the frame become too long. Now, this will encourage the horse to have a more active and engaged hind leg, which will create a lighter and freer forehand, preventing those strides from propping onto the horse's shoulders. So that's problem number 1. Let's now move on to problem number 2, which is a canter that is 4-beat. So as we mentioned, the canter is a 3-beat gait and it should have a clear moment of suspension. But if that moment of suspension appears only very briefly, or worse, it's missing altogether, then the canter can become 4-beat. And this is a very serious fault and it will be heavily penalised in the competitive environment. Now, during a 4-beat canter, the horse can be seen to almost shuffle along in a pace that is somewhere between the trot and somewhere between the canter. It's often nicknamed a tranter. Now, this fault usually occurs because the rider has used too much rein. They've tried to slow the canter down, or they have tried to collect the horse's frame too early or incorrectly. Now, thankfully, you can correct this fault quite easily. All you need to do is to ride the canter energetically forwards, and the moment of suspension and the 3-beat rhythm will magically reappear. Now, moving on to problem number 3, and this is that the horse is crooked in the canter. So, due to the natural canter sequence, where the horse's legs on the inside travel in front of the legs on the outside, the horse is predisposed to bringing his quarters to the inside during canter. And this is because it's much easier for the horse to become crooked than it is for him to sit on his haunches and to use his hocks. So instead of engaging, he brings his quarters in from the track and canters like a crab. Now, because of this natural crookedness, the canter should always be ridden with a very slight feeling of shoulder fall. So the aim is to bring the horse's shoulders in slightly so that the horse's inside foreleg tracks in front of his inside hind leg. Now, if you need any more help with this, or if you would like an image to help you visualize what it is that you are trying to achieve, then check out the post titled How to Stop Your Horse's Quarters from Coming in During Canter, which is on our website, howtodressage.com. Within that post, we talk about this problem in depth. But now moving on to problem number 4, and that is that the horse rushes in the medium and the extended canter. So when you are asking the horse to lengthen the strides, for either that medium canter or extended canter, It's not uncommon to see the horse rushing and just moving at a quicker tempo rather than actually lengthening the stride. And this fault can be caused by a lack of preparation, it can be caused by a lack of balance, and it can also be caused by a lack of suppleness. So to help correct this issue, first, make sure that the horse is loose and supple over his back and that he is free from tension. Secondly, you need to prepare the horse diligently for the lengthening by encouraging him to step under with his hind legs. Now, this not only helps to balance the horse, but it also allows the horse to use his hind legs to push himself upwards and forwards into the lengthened strides. And then thirdly, you need to keep the horse as balanced as possible by not asking for more lengthening than what the horse is capable of, or firing the horse into the extension. So you need to manage the amount that you require from the horse. But as the horse builds up his strength and balance, you can then start to ask for a longer stride and more length. Right, so now let's talk about problem number 5, which is that the horse breaks out of the canter. Now, unless there is a physical problem, such as pain, an injury, or ill-fitting or unsuitable tack, then a horse that breaks out of the canter is either usually behind the rider's leg, is unbalanced, or is a combination of both. So once you have ruled out all the possible physical causes, then a good exercise is to ride transitions, such as canter, trot, canter, or working canter to medium canter, back to working canter, and to ride them on a large 20-meter circle, focusing on the horse responding promptly to your forward leg aids. So the circle and the transitions will help to encourage the horse to step under more with his inside hind leg, therefore helping to balance the horse. And then the prompt responses to your leg aids will help to keep the horse thinking forwards. And then once you've got a forward thinking horse that is well balanced, he should be able to maintain the canter without breaking out of the pace. Now the final fault we're going to talk about, problem number 6, is an incorrect canter lead. Now there are two ways in which you could find yourself cantering on the incorrect leg. So you could get an incorrect canter strike off, or the horse could change canter leads during the canter. Now if you are repeatedly having one of these issues, then it's sensible to first check that there are no physical reasons which may be causing your horse to favour one canter lead over the other. Now, assuming that there are no physical issues, then an incorrect canter lead usually happens because the horse is unbalanced, because he lacks suppleness, or he lacks straightness. So again, a good exercise is to ride the horse on a large 20-metre circle, focusing on the horse's rhythm, on his balance, and on his suppleness and straightness. If you can maintain all of those qualities, then again, unless there is a physical issue, the horse should not have any reason to switch canter leads. Okay, so that covers 6 of the most common problems. Let's now give you some canter exercises. So here are 5 exercises that you can use to help you train and improve your horse's canter. So the first one is transitions, because the best way to improve the horse's canter is, ironically, to not keep cantering. Constant cantering around the outside of the arena will do nothing but string the horse out, making him more unbalanced and putting more on the forehand. Instead, ride frequent transitions. So you could ride them in and out of the canter, such as canter, trot, canter, or canter, walk, canter, and you can also ride transitions within the canter pace itself. Again, you could go working canter, to medium canter, to collected canter. Now, during the upward transitions, the horse is encouraged to push more from the hind legs, and during the downward transitions, the horse is encouraged to sit more on the hind legs. Now, both of these qualities, this pushing and this sitting, will improve the horse's balance and his carrying capacity. And this will add to the quality and the overall frame of the canter gait. Now, as you are riding these transitions, make sure that the canter strike-offs are fluent and that they are into the contact, and that the horse allows your balancing half halt to come through. Now, a helpful tip is to find sitting trot a few strides earlier before initiating the canter strike-off. This helps to avoid any sudden impact of weight on the horse's back as he is trying to work out where to place his legs. So that's just a small handy tip. But now let's move on to exercise number 2, which kind of isn't an exercise, more of a mantra, and that is to ride forwards. Because although you are riding the canter for the purpose of a dressage test, it should still have enough power and enough impulsion contained inside of it to be able to pop a decent sized fence. Instead, what you see is many riders make the mistake of slowing the canter down, which just reduces the quality of the gait. So instead, ride the canter energetically forwards. Not only will this create a very good suppling effect, but it will also encourage the horse to step under and have a positive effect on the activity of his hind legs and also the roundness of his frame. Now moving on to exercise number 3, and this is counter canter. So counter canter is the regular 3-beat canter on the outside lead. For example, if the horse is on the right rein, then the horse would be going in the direction right, but the canter would be leading with the left foreleg. Now the value of the counter canter lies in its suppling, engaging, straightening and collecting effects, and it's an excellent exercise for improving the quality of the horse's true canter. Now just as a side note, remember that counter canter should only be introduced once the horse's working canter feels rhythmical, balanced and secure. But once you are in that position, there's no reason why you can't start introducing counter canter into your regular sessions. But now moving on to exercise number 4, and this is pole work. Because cantering over poles actually offers a lot of benefits, and they include the following. So they help to improve the horse's back mobility and strength. They can also encourage roundness over the horse's back and top line, and they promote an equal length and height of the horse's canter strides. They also help to strengthen the horse's hindquarters and help to improve the horse's coordination, the horse's rhythm, and the horse's overall balance. They can also help to recover a lost moment of suspension and correct a 4-beat canter, which was one of the problems that we talked about earlier. And they also encourage engagement and strengthening of the horse's abdominal muscles, and they help in the raising of the horse's forehand. Now, as a general guide, the distance between the canter poles should be between 2.6 metres and 3.2 metres. But to encourage the horse to shorten and collect the canter strides, you can place the poles closer together. And to encourage the horse to lengthen the strides and to open his frame, you can place the poles further apart. So as you can see, there are lots of benefits to this exercise, and a simple pole on the ground should never be underestimated. But now let's move on to the final exercise, exercise number 5, which is more like a group of exercises, and this is lateral movements. Because almost every lateral movement can be used to help improve the horse's suppleness, the horse's straightness, the horse's balance, and the horse's engagement. And they include things such as leg yielding, shoulder fore, shoulder in, traverse, renverse, and half pass. Now, regardless of the pace that they are ridden in, so they don't necessarily have to be ridden in the canter, these exercises will help develop symmetry in the horse's body and limbs. They will also encourage throughness and elasticity, and also promote a more uphill cadence. Now, all of these qualities will help improve the horse's overall way of going and, of course, improve the quality of the horse's canter. Now, we have got individual articles and individual podcast episodes on each one of them individually. So if you need any help on how to ride them, then please search for them on our website howtodressage.com or in our podcast archives. But now to wrap this episode up. The horse's canter is a three-beat gait with a clear moment of suspension. It's an important gait for the competitive dressage rider since so many test movements require a quality canter. And these are movements such as flying changes and canter pirouettes. Now the goal is to train the horse to maintain a clear and expressive moment of suspension and to enable him to transfer his weight back onto well-placed and supportive hind legs. Now this enables the horse to achieve a good balance within the pace, whether that be a working canter, a medium canter, an extended or a more collected canter. And finally, for the very high marks in a dressage test, the rider should be looking to achieve a quality in the canter which shows light, rhythmical, energetic and uphill strides. Now, if you have any questions when it comes to this podcast episode, or if you have any other hints and tips that you would like to share with us, then please do so in the comments box at the bottom of the relevant blog post on our website. And to make sure that you don't miss out on any of our other free stuff, our books, our training diaries and competitions, and of course our brand new online dressage course, then please don't forget to like and follow us on our other social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter and Pinterest. We truly appreciate you for taking the time to listen to our podcast and we hope that you got a lot from it. For more, don't forget to check out our articles and other free stuff, which is available on our website howtodressage.com, and pop by Amazon for our range of dressage books, planners and diaries to help you stay on track with your competitions and training. Bye for now.